City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 2:30 time, sir.
Agenda item 489, direct Portland Parks and Recreation to adopt new sponsorship and naming policies.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. This is a continuation of the April 11th hearing where the Parks and Recreation Department first presented to council its draft sponsorship and naming policies. We heard some good input from the council and the public, and at the request of members of this council, my office and the Parks staff held a meeting the evening of April 19th to take further input from the public. Parks staff will go through these changes in a minute, but I just wanted to remind the council that what an important role that private individuals and companies play in our city's park system. Portland Parks has a long history of leveraging private dollars to help us meet the ever-increasing needs of the public we serve. From the first donations of land by William W. Chapman and Daniel H. Lonsdale in 1852, to the gifts of today's corporate local corporations, Nike, Freightliner, and Columbia Sportswear, our park system has always been dependent upon the generosity of private benefactors. And it's important to point out, as we will in a second, that we have been successful in this and the way we've managed these relationships and the recognition attached to them. This action by council is an important statement that we support this work by parks and appreciate that they obviously have this, that the respect they have for our public spaces. I now wanted to bring up Senior Manager Bob Schultz, who will now walk us through these changes from our April 11th version. And following that, I would ask for a motion to accept these new and improved policies as a substitute exhibit, and then a roll call on the resolution itself.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor, Mr. and Commissioners, my name is Bob Schultz, Business and Marketing Development Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. In Portland Parks 2020 Vision, our citizens outlined an ambitious future for our parks and recreation system. The needs identified within the plan call for additional parklands, trails, community centers, and other facilities totaling $750 million. Reaching these goals for Vision 2020 is important in the continuation of the legacy left to all citizens of Portland by visionaries who preceded us. We know we cannot achieve that needed success without the ability to leverage outside dollars. We've enclosed a map, and I want to take a break and show you for a second, Commissioners, so we don't get lost this time. If you turn to the very last page of your booklet, I've got a table of contents which pulls out. It can remain open during the presentation. If you go to behind tab 4, there's a map that I'm referring to, and it pulls out. So you can address the map as we go through this, and I'll be pointing to it. Okay, reaching these goals is important for the continuation of the visionaries who preceded us. And we've enclosed a map which shows the site for future development in all areas of our city. But most apparent are the underserved locations where we purchased lands but not have had the resources to provide the improvements there. I want to refer you now to our map. We have outlined with stars two sites which we would really love to develop as community center sites. Okay, I thought you had a question. One of them being at the Washington Monroe site and one of them being at the Whitaker Middle School site. Other areas you'll see on the map in these large pink areas are areas we'd like to have in the future for more defined study. These are areas where we know the demand is great, but we don't have the resources or land purchased to fully develop and meet the demands of our citizens there. Also on the map in the tan areas, you'll see land we have purchased, but we don't have the current resources to develop into parks. We believe that we've created documents to serve the need of the public. We've heard what the council said the last time we met. We've listened to citizens' concerns at public meetings and invited additional comments at our web. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, we've held another public meeting on the policy since the last time we met, and we've also reopened our website for comments. At our last presentation to council, you asked us to make changes and additions to the policies, which we've done. Those are changes are highlighted in yellow, and they're included in your booklets. The naming policy is behind tab one. Sponsorship is behind tab two. If you have any questions in those changes, I'm open for those now.
I think the important point to point out is that the change we made on sponsorship with respect to the council's role in those decisions is that for any sponsorship in an aggregate value of $500,000, whether it's multi-year or single year, would come to council for approval. And as was in the naming policy originally, naming policies do come to the council for approval. So I think that was the major concern that was raised, I think, by Commissioner Stinn last time about. Oh, and that we did build in, the council has the ability to waive the policy that a person has to be deceased for a certain number of years before something can be named after them.
That's correct. Any other questions? Thank you, Commissioners and Mr. Mayor.
That's it. I think they're
signed up.
Yeah, other than
did you want to substitute the substitute before you hear the testimony?
Sure, that'd be great. I would move the substitute resolution and ordinances.
Second.
Great. We do have several members of the Parks Board, if we could accord them an opportunity.
Sir.
Joey Pope and Reverend Bethel.
Can I ask before, just in case it's a staff answer, the notification of neighborhoods for naming and renaming, I just want to clarify the intended purpose, and you only have neighborhoods, not business associations here. Mm-hmm. You're notifying them of naming or renaming proposals, and is it speak to somewhere else in this document, and I've just missed it, what the rules of engagement are? You notify them, and then what?
Well, basically, what we heard for citizens in our meeting was the fact that we had a part in where we have a standing committee that's got neighborhood associations and would get their comments and approvals for any kind of a naming or renaming situation, whether it be sponsorship or a donation. But they mentioned to us in our meeting, well, we can only comment to our neighborhood associations if we're aware of the fact that it's coming through. So what we said is we'd put an extra step that we made sure that we notified neighborhoods up front when something like this was coming available, so that when we did have a representative from the neighborhood association on this committee, they could give input to that person before we got to the meeting stage.
And could we have the legislative record of this procedure show that you would come up with some further details on what the process would be, and that you would include the business district as well?
Absolutely.
So if you're going to give them 2 or 3 weeks' notice, just so that neighborhoods and business associations know that they have a certain amount of time to reply and how they reply to. I don't need to change anything if you'll just take
it. Oh, I think that's a great comment. We'll be happy to add it, sir.
Thank you.
Reverend Bethel and Joey Pope.
Commissioner Saltzman, may I ask for one clarification on your motion? I'm sorry.
Yes.
You aren't substituting the resolution, correct? You're just substituting the exhibits?
Correct.
Okay.
Sorry.
You go first. If you prefer to vote first, that's okay too.
Thanks for being here, folks.
We want to hear from you.
When you speak, would you please state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, and to the council. I am Reverend Dr. T. Allen Bethel, Maranatha Church here in Portland, serving on the Parks Board as the vice chairman.
Incoming chair.
First of all, just want to give thanks to you and Mr. Mayor and the council for all the great support you're giving to Portland Parks and Recreation, and also give my thanks to the staff and Zeri Santner for their involvement with the community and what they're doing. One of the things that we are very much aware of is that the amount of dollars are increasing for the demand for the cost of delivering and providing services at a consistent level here in the city for Portland Parks and Recreation. and that is going to continue to increase. And as you can well know from reading the sponsorship and naming policies that are before you, a partnership with private citizens and businesses help us to leverage the dollars for the particular services and development of parks and getting things in those particular parks done that perhaps otherwise we would not be able to get done in an expeditious manner because of the draw and the demand for the dollars. We also believe and urge you to support and vote very affirmative for the sponsorship and naming policies, because these also help us to get partnership with businesses, with private individuals and corporations, so that we can make Portland Parks and Recreations more beneficial to all our citizens as well as to our visitors. Thank you for your support.
Josephine Pope, I come before you today. I am on the Parks Board, but I am speaking in behalf of the Portland Parks Foundation. And the Portland Parks Foundation, as you know, raises money privately for park programs and the acquisition of park lands, particularly in disadvantaged areas. The Park Foundation strongly and the members unanimously support this resolution, both policies. We feel extremely strongly that the ability to appropriately recognize is an essential tool, not just an add-on, but it is essential in our work. Two quick things that I wanted to cover. One is reality, and that's been spoken to, and you know it better than I do, that public money is nice as it is, and it is simply not sufficient to meet the needs, the desires, and indeed the demands of the public. Another issue, though, is that private individuals, businesses and corporations want to contribute to their city. They're proud to be part of our community, and they want to be able to add value to not just their lives personally, but to the public sector. However, another aspect of reality is recognition. And I've lived long enough that I can remember when organizations didn't have development offices, when if there were development offices and there were private donations, it was considered not necessary, maybe even gauche, to list donors, at least by amounts of money. Well, those things have changed, and the reality is that if you look, for instance, through a symphony program or the Art Museum Annual Report or the Community Music Center, you see very few words anonymous. Most everyone in today would like to have himself or herself or corporations acknowledged. Second area that I'd like to just briefly touch on in addition to that reality is the appropriateness of recognition. Please be assured that the Portland Parks Board, the foundation, believes to our core that public parks belong to the public. And the idea of any commercialization or the idea of any undue influence because of donation would be anathema to all of us. Further, I think the history of the Park Bureau has been that the recognition has been tasteful. Off-site recognition and flyers and annual reports, and also the logos on signs. It seems to me that the record from the Park Bureau has been really fine in striking a balance between recognition and tastefulness. So thank you for your consideration. Thank
you. Thanks, folks.
Completes the invited testimony. But
okay, do we have a sign-up list?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Amanda Fritz.
Thanks for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Amanda Fritz, speaking only for myself. I think you should listen twice as hard, considering I had to come through the hail and thunder and lightning to get here. Please. I'm concerned that the 500,000 threshold for reporting to council and getting council approval is too high. There is a number of 500,000 in the Chapter 5 rules on when contracts have to come to City Council. However, there are also many other numbers. 5,000 to 150,000 seems to be a pretty popular number. And 500,000 seems a pretty high threshold before council gets to approve a sponsorship. Particularly when the other part I'm particularly concerned about in this is allowing logos on interpretive signs, which can be permanent signs, and putting a logo on an educational sign seems particularly unfortunate when we're trying to teach people something about the park. Then having a corporate logo on it seems to suggest that that corporate entity has more stake in the park than the taxpayers who are actually funding the park itself and who own the park. Someone suggested yesterday to me that we should expand this policy to have a policy for when volunteers are recognized in parks. Hundreds of thousands of hours are donated by Portland citizens to pull ivy and weed and do all kinds of things in Portland's parks, and yet there's no mention in this particular policy that those volunteers deserve some recognition also, and that, as I say, their taxpayers are funding the majority of parks programs, and that's how it should be. Thank you for work on this. I would note that the second public meeting was called with only about 24 hours notice, so only three of us were able to get to it. And in future parks policy projects, it's going to be very important to do things differently. That one public meeting before the first council hearing and then one before this one is not really an extensive citywide process to look at an issue which I think many people would be interested in and could learn how our parks are funded if there had been more public outreach and more meetings in neighborhoods to explain what levies pay for, what taxes pay for, and then what these corporate sponsorships do and don't do. That would have been a helpful thing for citizens to understand. So while I'm grateful that this policy is coming to council for approval, I would like to suggest that there can be some improvements in the process in the future.
That's all who signed up.
Further questions?
So I did when Commissioner Saltzman, when you mentioned the 500,000, I was wondering why it was so high. Is there a reason we couldn't have it, say, at 100,000?
I think as a practical matter, 500,000 is the right number. And also, as Amanda Frisch has said, then in Chapter 5 of our code, it talks about contracts, talks about a threshold of $500,000. So it's consistent, I think, with how we approach contract approval by the council right now. And I do think I think it's an aggregate number that is large enough to be significant enough to have council input. I think 100,000 is too small. We're talking, you know, in aggregate over multi-years. So, for instance, if it was a $500,000 commitment over 10 years, and it's 50,000 a year or less. So it could involve annual amounts being that as low as a 50,000.
So you would at the point at which the aggregate amount of a contribution reached $500,000, then you would bring it to council?
Because there would be a multi-year agreement, most likely, with a potential sponsor, and that would have a value attached to it.
I see, and if
that aggregate value is over $500,000, then it comes to council.
I see.
Right.
Further questions?
Is there an automatic check-in on how the policy is going?
Check-in with council?
Yeah, like a year or so.
We can certainly do that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we hope to have some tangible achievements to show you in a year, or to bring for your approval before then.
Right, I just mean how's policy working, any tweaks we want to make to it after a year? Check in on the amount, whether it's too high, too low.
And I really appreciated what Joey Pope had to say about the Parks Board overseeing this process and not allowing something untoward to occur, and that I find some reassurance in that. But I just have to say that, and I know nobody here, I don't think, was here when Civic Stadium was named PGE Park, but that, to this day, bothers me a lot. And sorry, but it just is disturbing to have a civic monument take the name on of a private sector enterprise. And I guess when I'm having this discussion, that's what I'm thinking about. wanting to avoid happening again.
Well, no, and I think I suggested, not that they're a lot of fun, but that I think I suggested at the last hearing that these do come back to the council for exactly that reason. So I think that was a, whether it's the right vote or the wrong vote, it was an affirmative vote of the council that named that park. So not park, but that stadium. So I think that's the right venue to do it.
The council?
Yeah.
Yep. And your $500,000 threshold would capture that, for an example, that kind of a thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Civic Stadium or PGE Park was not a parks resource.
I understand.
Amount of money PGE paid for that naming right was considerable.
Right.
$500,000 a year
right.
for 10 years,
yeah.
if I recall
so
correctly.
That's like a $5 million.
So just on that subject, what happens at the end of 10 years?
They have to renegotiate with the city where the name comes up.
When is that 10 years up?
I can't remember.
This must have been around 2000.
Will it be theoretically while
I'm on? Well, you weren't on the council, so how long ago?
I'm asking, will it theoretically be when I'm on the council?
Commissioner, if I could interrupt for a second, I wanted to point out that, as Commissioner Stinn pointed out, we've made a change in the sponsorship policy that says any naming benefit associated with any sponsorship will come to council for approval.
No matter what the amount is.
No matter what. Okay. So that's coming here no matter what. If it's naming.
So it's any name and then any sponsorship above 500. So if we're actually going to name a facility,
right.
it comes before the council.
Right. But any kind of naming benefit is going to come here. It goes through a committee first, then it'll come here.
Okay.
I think that's an important distinction.
It is.
We
helpful.
Heard you loud and clear, so we put it in.
Thanks.
Okay. Further questions? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Thank you to everyone who worked on this. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Look forward to, thanks to the foundation and the board, look forward to sort of checking in with you to see how things are going, see if there are any tweaks that need to be made in a year. Aye.
Leonard?
And as I said, I do find reassurance in what Joey said here today that the integrity of our system comes first before any remuneration is teased at us. So I appreciate that. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Bob Schultz and Zeri Santner for Parks Bureau and the council for its early review and the public for its review on this policy. I think we do have a policy that gives us the flexibility to make things work, but also do it in a respectful way and do it with full council approval under certain naming and sponsorship conditions. So I think it strikes a fair balance. And we look forward to our purpose for showing you the map where we have desired community centers and where we do not have park lands acquired yet is to demonstrate that if we're going to fulfill the visions of our 2020 plan, it's going to take more than public resources to do it. It's going to require engaging in partnerships and leveraging the resources of the private sector to get our full build out of our 2020 vision. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Stan.
I agree. Thanks to Commissioner Saltzman and the board and citizens. I think this is the right balance, and I stand ready to help and hope you'll be very successful in helping raise some money. Aye.
Potter.
I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman, the Parks Bureau, but I really want to thank the Parks Foundation board. What you folks do for our city is nothing short of amazing, and I'm very grateful to you for spending the time and effort that you do to try to increase the number of parks and enhance the beauty of our city. So I just want you folks to know that you are appreciated and that we support you, and that I think this is a good balance between ensuring the integrity of the system but also ensuring that we have a system there. So thank you all for your hard work, and I vote aye.
Mayor, that was the we have the amendment. We must have vote. Sorry, we didn't take the vote on that.
Okay.
Well, that could be the amendment vote, and now we're voting on the resolution.
Okay. Please
Adams.
Call the vote.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stinn.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Thank you, folks.
Did you get that one done?
Yeah.
Hold on.
is 490.